Accession number 9364, reel 19.
Mr. Bethel, reel 19. Was there an actual evacuation of wives and children?
Not the Maltese themselves, there were the English people. And eventually my own wife was evacuated. Flew over Alamein.
What was the attitude of people during the siege, as it were?
Well, I'll give you this. We had an old boss-eyed Maltese. She used to come up with a vegetable cart to the quarters. And that was his living. And when after the bombing raid, Abby came with his old donkey and the fruit and stuff he'd been selling to us to get his living. And it was marvellous. And his poor little mouth was screwed up where he was scared out of his wits, but he thought, "I'm gone with me donkey, it's the only thing I know." Their sufferings. I've seen a Maltese with a loaf of bread, a large, coarsely cooked loaf of bread, with one sardine. And they favoured a lot of oil, olive oil and tomato juice. They used to push that. And I've seen him eat that. That'd be his day's meal. One blooming great coarse lump and the one sardine stuck in the middle of it. These people were sufferings. This is the beginning and the end. This is what is either going to get the mercy of God or not. Upon your ability to take the can back. As I see it, putting it in mild English.
Did you have any shortage of food supplies for your internment?
Oh yeah, we had shortage, complete shortage. One time we were down to a heap of the bread a day, nothing else. Food kitchens were doubtful. You don't know what the hell they put in them, rats possibly, anything. The poor pedestal was the last effort to try and get through to relieve us. Chillingsworth, the one I told you about, the funny one on the Revenge, Marine Chillingsworth, was stuck on the Manchester trying to get through to us. The Manchester was sunk, as were most of the ships that tried to get through. 14 ships started, 3 eventually came through. And Chillingsworth, I shall always remember, because he made his way off in the Cauliflower. Have I told you this before? If I have, please stop me. And the Manchester was sinking and listing over, and one of the destroyers came and took off the crew. But Chillingsworth, being a funny man, which he was, he was mucking around when the thing was sinking. He decided to have a couple of bottles of whiskey, and he thought, couldn't see why he shouldn't have a duffer coat, one of the officers' duffer coats. He went in the cabin on this ship that was gradually sinking, and put a tough coat on, and then he thought, well, I might as well take some cigarettes. They're all free. Everything's free on this ship. It's going to sink. And he loaded it up and went over the side where a Cali float waited for him. And he turned to the list of the ship, which was sinking. It was difficult to get down on this Cali float. And as he slid down on the Cali float, he went upside down and the bottles of whiskey dropped out, the couple double coat and the cigarettes went with it, and the voice from below said, "Chilly, if you took that coat off you'd be okay. Throw it in the water." So he had to take the coat and throw it away. When he got down to the boat, they said, "But we're still tied up to the Manchester and she's sinking." So one brave sailor from another Cali float swam across with a knife. And they promptly dropped the knife through the boards of the flipping Cali float. Eventually they did get it loose anyway, acted loose somehow or other. And they paddled away from the Manchester towards Algeria. And as they were paddling, he said, "Reg, we were paddling on this Cali float trying to get away. We were going to Algeria and a German fighter came over here." He said, "Have you ever seen a Cali float do 90? He said, "We did." This German pilot looked down and waved his hand at him and said, "Rubbish," and flew away. This was in an effort to save my life and give us bread in Malta. And this was Chillingsworth, the little funny little marine with the breasts of tins, trying to make himself look like a woman. This wonderful boy, and with the others, of course, they were all wonderful. And they on they paddled anyway towards Algeria, and his mate said to him, "Chilly," he said, "I've got £200 on me." He said, "These Arabs have cut our throats for that. Would you like half?" Chilly said, "Yeah, give us half." So they took half each, and eventually they landed in Algeria, where they were treated very badly, had been treated. One chap landed there, lost about 3 stones in no time. And the marine, or the officer, sent for him and said, "Tell me first, I've got no trousers." He said, "I don't know what I can do about your trousers here, sir." He said, "I can't get you any trousers." Very much like Midshipman Easy. I don't know if you've read Midshipman Easy. Anyway, Midshipman Easy, the bosun and Midshipman Easy are in this room. And they push the window down on the, to all their trousers to dry in the sun. And Midshipman Easy pulls up the thing and his trousers fly away in the wind. So he puts the bosun's on. And then he gets back to the ship. And on his way back to the ship, the bosun comes back and he's sitting down in the stern of this boat, and the captain's singing out, "Bosun, stand up when I speak to you." And he's got no trousers, of course, but he's Midshipman Easy got them. Because it reminded me of that. It was so funny. However, that be as it may, the humour was there still.
How long were you without food or with short supplies?
For about... It got steadily worse. Dobby, don't forget that my wife and I played for a church service with Admiral General Dobby there, His Excellency. And I had previously spoken to him when the Illustrious was raided. It was a very heavy raid, and as I told you, the mortar struts out like your hand, your fingers extended, and you've got Singali and the canteen or Corradina, and then Valletta sticking out into the sea like a hand. Not quite like a hand, because but something like it. And Singali took the bombing from Illustrious. As the bombers dived in, this little peninsula stuck up out of the sea, and the bombs went on Singali. And I was there in the prison, and they said, "His Excellency's coming." I said, "Oh yeah." So I let him in. He said, "I want to use your phone." There was only one telephone which usable in the dockyard, that was mine, because it was a civil line, you see. So I shut that door. And so his Excellency came up to... I spoke to Dobby 2 or 3 times. You only had to have a prison, everybody's interested, as it mattered. They were wondering what was happening and so forth. They knew that there's somewhere, if something went wrong, they could say, "Take that load, and them. 6 old policemen and me, and a guard for the Royal West Kent. My sergeant major was my sergeant major, blew his brains out. They came up and said the sergeant major shoot himself. I said, "It's very bad." They said, "Yes." So these country boy policemen, that's all they were, reservists. I went in, down there, and he put a revolver in his mouth and pulled the trigger. Bit worrying. And with your other commitments. So we went on. The commander of the French submarine came up to see me to try and see whether he could talk some of these chaps back to going back to fight. And this was when I arranged the concert. Remember, it was all one great act. You had to act the part, which I did. So we arranged this concert. As much as to say, I don't know what you're worried about. What was it, the attitude of the man who said it was in action and a blooming great bomb went down off, and somebody said, "Who threw that pea?" The de-inflammorating the bloomin' situation by ball, if you like. I was trying to find a few. took the children to kind of give them a little schooling, because all schools are closed. Remember, the whole thing's paralysed. And the nuns took them, and my little girl came in one day. She quoted, "Who wants to live with me under the greenwood tree? Here I have no enemies but winter and rough weather." And it just about turned me on.
What was morale like amongst the Maltese people?
Marvellous. They're stoic. As I say, the loaf of bread, the sardine, the oil, salad oil, and the flipping little drop of tomato juice. And that was his meal for the day. They were wonderful. They were scared. Of course, I was scared. We're all scared. We had any blooming brains. The little mouse in our bathroom was scared, just to run up and down the pipe where the place had been blown down.
Did you think that Malta might fall?
How else could you think? And yet, I never doubted the British Navy. I thought they were so brave. What a tolerance. Every ship was hit at Crete. Every naval ship that we took part was hit. And don't forget that there was an element, the grandees of Malta, perhaps were Italian-minded, because they were, opera-minded. They were Latin in their outlook. The Jew on the Maltese have got much in common. I think there is a strain of Jew in the Maltese, which might be strange. I'm not sure of my facts. I wish I was.
You said you were moved from the internment prison.
I was what?
Moved from the internment prison.
Yes. Eventually, I was there for some while, about 6 months, and I was talking about the French. When France fell, their commander came up, their captain came up, and had a yarn with me, and I said, we were standing opposite one another in the place when the bombs were dropping, and I said, "What had it gone about cigarettes? Do you get plenty?" He said, "Oh dear," he said, "British tobacco is only fit for French women." I said, "Well, I'll try and get you some Navy tobacco, which you might like, you know, our Navy tobacco, which would be stronger." And I can also see him, and I can see him. Eventually, he went off of all but 10 of them. And the commander of the Otis, which was another one of our submarines, was acting as liaison officer, come up and said, "You've done a great job," to me. Anyway, I was telling him I run this concert. Took my wife and children up there, and we played a selection, Student Prince or something like that, and the girls gave a dance, and what you scared about? These young children here dancing in front of this bull, or call it what you like. And eventually, the French and the Italian were fighting for who would be on the stage next. The first one to be gallant. And in the end, Hazel sang, because Hazel had a beautiful voice. She broadcast in Malta during the siege. And, of course, she was very pretty, as all girls are, about 16, 17. And she sang this song and then asked the Frenchmen for La Pouffe Rouge, their red tassels. And they tore them off and threw them. And that was really overcoming. And Jacquarini, who I believe was one of our agents, you never knew. You had all these people there, of which some were British agents, some were just fluent enemy agents, a potpourri of different people, and bombs to go with it for desert. You had to act act, and after that, act again. Put on an attitude of laissez-faire, it's all right, I don't know what you're worried about. Who's rid of that pee? Eventually, anyway, 10 of the Frenchmen were left, which evidently wanted to go back to France. Their hearts were broken, France was broken. It was generally a very, very sad period for everyone. Captain Berger gave me a guitar which was built in 1802. He said, it sounds like a harper. I said, I can't play it, I don't want it, you have it. Eventually I did take it down, and I thought I'd like to give it to the British Museum, Marine Museum. And so help me God, with my violin, it was blown to smithereens. My violin was placed under a chest of drawers by my wife, and that's one of these great stones, about as big as that television, that well-known set there. It came down and crashed through this, divided the chest of drawers right down and split the top of the violin in, which I had repaired by my girl's music teacher, Professor Nani, Maltese. And he put it together again in pieces about the size of a half a crown. And it was playable, but never quite the same, not so nice. I used to go around this prison playing the violin. Beautiful, because you had height, you see, and it would really echo. Mustard Dome records. You speak, and 10 seconds afterwards in Mustard Dome, which was built by Maltese, without plans, third largest dome in the world, you get your voice back 10 seconds afterwards. Remarkable. Anyway.
Can you tell me why you were moved eventually from the internment prison?
Yes. It was taken over eventually as a detention barracks again. That was where the two men were killed.
And what happened to you?
And they sent me to the military, to the civil prison. When I went to the civil prison, I was given the juvenile section, the leper section, which was about 6 or 7 cells for lepers. And the hanging house and the governor's garden. You had the figure of Christ standing up in the governor's garden, pointing at the door where the chap was going to be hung. And he had his hand up like this. And they lower one eye to make it look that the figure's looking at you all the way. It must have been an awful experience to hang people. And
were you ever involved in hanging people?
No, never. Thank God, it was nothing to do with me. But it was blown out by a landmine. I always wanted to see inside. Morbid curiosity. And apparently you came down these steps and went up the back way. And when you stood within 6 inches or a foot of the actual strut that you're going to be hung from, yeah, they pushed a partition door and it was there right in front of you, 2 seconds, and they had the noose around your neck and you were hung. They had their own cemetery in there. Used to make potato bread in there for their people. I had a bit to do with the juice, their governor of the civil prison, because I had this section under me. And he said, "It's too much, Bethel." I said, "What's too much?" He said, 2.5 years for stealing a chicken. Food was at a premium. You couldn't get it. They did have to make the morale of the spirits of the forces up. They had... they used to run a command fair where boxing used to take place, and all the regiments, they were fine little regiments, county regiments. Beautiful regiments, and of course the Royal Irish Fusiliers, of which I had 6 in turn. Difficult. I allowed them to sit a turkey on duck's eggs. The only eggs I could get were duck's eggs, and this turkey hatched them out, and they made a pool for them. I didn't care, as long as their minds were occupied, because they were dangerous. and how dangerous they would have been if the island had been taken. Well, eventually, food got scarcer. My girl, Hazel, went to the Air Force, where she was employed with the meteorological people. I used to go and get her at night, and when Malta was bombed, like it was, when Valletta was bombed, I used to get her at night about 9 o'clock, and the poor kids used to bring her up, and our bungalow was flat, or near enough flat, one little part where they, we had a little safe, just like a box, with gauze front to it, where our precious lump of bread was kept. And I had this trouble with Wolf. He attacked me with this stone, a Jew. He wrote this: "These hens who do not go to war, but hatch their eggs just as before, deserve compassion so much more than human beings, whom I say are liars, heedless of fair play. Hens do not lie, they sit or lay." And he wrote a lot more. He wasn't... whether he had a just... The governor actually said to me, "What do you make of him?" Well, I said, "Well, he's egotistical. He only thinks he..." Because to dream about you wanting doctors in a civil prison and this kind of thing when people were being bombed to death and little children were scared out of their wits, you don't count.
What were conditions like in the civil prison?
Reasonable. I think the enemy possibly knew not to bomb it because they knew that it would have been used as an internment camp. Mind you, at either end of our road, which was 7 houses one side and six bungalows the other, we had a hall you could put a double-decker bus in at either end. So it gives you some idea, there were bombs are dropping there, and my house was blown down, and so was the one next door.
What were your duties in the civil prison when you were in charge of the juveniles? And
well, your duty is to look after all this mob and see that they're... We had Leapery. Leapery was leader of the Black Shirts, for instance, the Italian. He was trade representative for Malta, and as such held a lot of power in a queer way, inasmuch as you could search who you like. I could search. If I thought I'd search you, I'd search you and say, right, you know, get another lady to search you, absolutely make sure you had nothing. On one occasion I discovered a code which was peculiar. It had a number of amounts of money and a number of numbers alongside of it. Well, the most secret thing in code is cipher, or cipher figures, because you don't get the reoccurrence of the nouns. And it was possible for Leafy to have sent a message out to the Italians in amounts of money over Eastern Telegraph. In other words, "Will you please send 4 tennis rackets," which would mean something, then 400 amounts of money that didn't mean anything, and then back to the amounts that you would have on the code. So you would know that a capital ship had entered Grand Harbour and that kind of thing. Or a cruiser had arrived safely, one of them is so and so. Cipher, money for cipher, in other words. You were sending out quite innocently for supplies or whatever you wanted. And you're informing the enemy what the hell is happening with Malta. So I sent to Bowen, my typist. I had a chap there who was kind of a clerk. I said, "Take this to the DSO." Well, now, during the Russian business, where they were sparring for an opening, where Poland was going to be attacked and taken over by Germany, I explained to the internees, I said, make no doubt about it, you're laughing up your sleeve right now, the fact that Italy's in the war. You're laughing because Germany's been successful, they've taken Norway, they've taken France, they've taken Greece, they're now taking Crete, and so forth. But Russia and Germany must go to war. Ah, they said, you will say this, you will say this. I said, oh, I'm right. They must go. Murmansk and Vladivostok are the only places they got open to the sea. And if they allow those to be closed, they'll be sealed off in the south, in Persia, and so forth. And they will not be able to withstand. They must go to war or become a vassal state, Russia must. And of course, when it did happen, Lipari lost his confidence. He realized that he was going to be on the losing end of the stick and not on the winning end of the stick. He had long nails, nails about an inch long, or maybe not quite so long, but very, very long nails, thing I abhor in a man. And he was scared out of his wits at times. Of course, as I say, you're handling a maze. You don't know what you're handling. You're just...
Was it easier for you when you went to the civil prison?
No, I still did the same, you know. But I put Wolf, when he attacked me with this stone, in the... This went to the Supreme Court of Malta. And eventually, as a result, they decided to get rid of the internees altogether. Which was possibly the best thing they could have done.
Did you have internees in the civil prison as well?
Oh, yes. That's what I was doing there. I was employed by the government of Malta. And I simply took them from the detention barracks to the civil prison, which was about 100 yards away.
Was it safer from raids there?
No, I wouldn't think so, about the same. This landmine blew the hanging out open for me anyway. I was able to go and have a gory look. And of course these leper sanctions section, which was saddened you because you thought this was part of the past. But eventually we are coming through to our redemption. I do believe when I hear these marriage services and I hear our high priest say, well, let end, old man. And I get all these people saying to the young ones of today, I'm again just round the corner. I wonder whether it's all a big joke.
Why were the lepers in prison?
Beg your pardon?
Why were the lepers in prison?
The lepers, this was previous years. Oh. And nobody had been placed in the leper section. But it was known as the leper section. Don't forget that Malta endured plagues. Yellow fever and that, rats and that kind of thing. Not difficult to keep clean, I should think, a little place like that. And probably the highest population in the world.
What happened to you?